Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. It is now the 8:30 hour on Wednesday night, where we have gathered and assembled ourselves together to expound on the Word of God. God has given us this opportunity, and we are taking full advantage of it. I thank God for the opportunity that he has given me to be able to go before his people. And I thank the people for coming back week after week. I thank God for each and every one of you. And I pray that each and every one of you receive all of the blessings that you're in need of. It's Wednesday night, y'all. And I'm Diane Adams, a servant of God, your host for Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And here we are again on Wednesday night, and God is not through with us yet. As always, I give the title of the lesson. Tonight our lesson is Jesus is coming back for his bride. Jesus is coming back for his bride. And we're coming from 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verses 13 through 18. It is my desire from the information that I give you on tonight that the Holy Ghost would illuminate and revelate the words to you so you could have a clear understanding of what Jesus has done, is doing, and promised to do in our lives, that we could have a blessed assurance that Jesus will come back, because in the end we win. So at this time, I'm going to play a song. And after the song, we're going to expound on the word of God.
Come on, you put your hands together. When I think of how far you brought me and all of the changes.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. The song was letting us know that we are to give God the honor, the glory, and the praise, which is only our reasonable service, y'all. God said he created all of us for his glory. God made the moon, the sun, the stars to stay in the sky, which is giving him glory. His creation stays intact because of his power. And that lets us know that it is nobody but God that does what he does, when he do it, and how he do it. And for that, when the sun stay in the sky and don't fall out and just inoculate us, it's a reason to bless his holy name. When the sun go down and the moon come up, God, that's in control. Hallelujah, y'all. God is worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, like the song said, he is worthy to be praised. And at this time, it's time for us to go to God's throne of grace, where mercy could be found. And our prayer warrior, Sister Pam, is on the line, and she's pressed the one button, and she's ready. She's in place to go before God's throne of grace. Sister Pam, your mic is open.
Good evening, my sisters and brothers. Giving thanks tonight, O Lord, for life. Thanking you, Father God, for affording us this opportunity to come together for another Wednesday night for words of wisdom, plain and simple. Thank you, Lord, for our sister in Christ and our teacher, Minister Diane Adams. Father God, we pray that you continue to use her in a mighty, mighty way. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you, Lord, for allowing her to bring forth your word every Wednesday night. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for our Bible study. Lord, I pray that you continue to bless this Bible study and everyone that calls in on every Wednesday night, those on the phone lines and through the internet. Lord, I thank you for all that you've done. I thank you for what you're doing right now. And Lord, I thank you for what you still to do. I'd be so careful, Lord Jesus, to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In the sweet, holy name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen, and thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you so much, my sister.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And as she just said, every Wednesday, many callers call on the line, and others are by the internet. But we thank God for those who are listening by the internet, those who go during the week and pull up a lesson. The lessons are available online, and the lessons is all there since 2012. If you just want to have a word from God, you go to the on the internet to the Blog Talk radio station, Words of Wisdom, Plain and Simple, Diane Adams, and you could listen to any lesson that is published. And like I said, all of the lessons from 2012 is published, and they're there, and they're there and can be listened to. And I thank everybody that's listening on the internet outside of the United States of America. We have several countries that people call in online, and it's so amazing. In Africa, Canada, the United Kingdom, and different places. The way the channel is set up, when someone go on the internet, it records their location, and it compiles on a map where calls come from. So we have callers all over the world, and for that I'm grateful and I'm thankful. So to all of the callers that listen and look on the internet,
I just want you to know I'm grateful for you as well. I thank God for you, and I pray for all of you on the line or on the internet or however you may do. I go to God in prayer for you and your families, because prayer is the keys that unlock the doors. Prayer is always in order. And I thank God for each and every one of you. The lesson for tonight, I'll say the title again because more callers has called in on the line. But the title of the lesson is Jesus is Coming Back for His Bride. This may be familiar to a lot of you, and it may not be familiar. But I hope by the end of the lesson we'll have a great idea of what this is all about. And I'm in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, the 13th through the 19th verse. And I'm going to do a little background, and I'm going to go straight into the lesson. I was just sitting down and thinking what to do as far as the intro. And I say, in this world we live in today, it's taking so many twists and turns that sometimes it's hard to believe there's trouble on every side. But we must remember what Jesus said. He said there will be days like this. Men will be lovers of themselves, learning, but never coming into the knowledge of truth, leaning to their own understanding and doing whatever seemeth right in their own eyes. The Bible talks about wars and rumors of wars. Death and murders seem to be at an all-time high, allowing grief to have her way. You know, we look at the murders and we know they're senseless, but if we go to the first murder in the Bible when Cain killed Abel, it wasn't all of these people on earth as it is now. It wasn't as many situations and things going on. But Cain killed his brother Abel. Most of it was because of greed and jealousy. So there's nothing new under the sun. What is happening now has always been. And we see and hear so much because we live in an age of mass communication. We have social media, nightly news, internet, Twitter, Facebook, computers, just to name a few. And it has always been said that bad news travels the fastest and the farthest. And today, we get the news seen faster than a strike of lightning. You cut your phone on, you get the news. You just can't get around it. Your radio, your TV, and you get what's happening here and what's happening there. We have to realize before the communication age, what was happening in different cities, unless it hit the nightly news, we wouldn't know about it. So yes, it seems so much. And yes, it is so much. But we got to understand that we're getting news from everywhere besides what's happening in our own hometown or in our family or with our friends. You see, this world we live in, things seem to be getting worse, not better. We must do as Jesus did. He accepted this world as it is, not as it should or would be. It is what it is, and there's nothing we can do about it other than praying. Nothing that is happening is taking God by surprise. I want you to know that. He is still in control. He has all power in his hand, and he's constantly working all things out together for our good. God's grace is still sufficient, and his mercy will endure forever. You see, it's not about what we go through in this life here on earth. It's all about who we go through it with, and his name is Jesus. You see, I encourage you tonight to hold on to God's unchanging hand. because help is always on the way for believers. Everything on this earth is only temporal, and only those things done for Christ will last. So my brothers and sisters, hold on. You see, we have hope because of Jesus. And he lets us know that he's coming back for his church. And the question I have to ask you tonight, are you ready? And keep in mind, in the end, we win. And that's the little background intro for tonight. We're going into the lesson, and we in the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are in the fourth chapter. We're going to expound on verses 13 through 18. And just for information, Paul is the writer of the book of Thessalonians. You see, the people in Thessalonians was concerned about their loved ones that died. They were being taught about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how we will rise with him, and Jesus is going to take us back. And he was talking about the rapture. So the people was concerned, what happened to their loved ones that was already dead? How will they get to be with Christ? So Paul decided to put this teaching together that we having on tonight. And Paul told them, and we're going to, what Paul told them, we're going to see in the lesson. So when we go to the 13th verse in the fourth chapter, Paul told them, but I would not have you ignorant, brother, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. He said, you shouldn't be walking around, if you belong to me, as those that's not saved and have no hope. And 14, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so then also which sleep in Christ will God bring with him. So don't worry about him. If you belong to Christ, I don't care if you're dead or alive. Jesus is coming back for his church. You see, what this is saying, when Paul said, I would not have you ignorant, is simply Paul saying, I have something I want to tell you, so listen up. He wanted to get their attention. You see, the believers were concerned about their loved ones that had died in the Lord. The Thessalonians was wondering, since many of their fellow believers and family had fallen asleep and died, and what would happen to them when Jesus returned. Paul wanted the Thessalonians to understand that death is not the end of the story. When Christ returns, all believers, dead or alive, will be reunited with him to never suffer again. And then if we look at verse 15 and going forward, it says, for this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will not prevent them which are asleep. So after he taught them about what's going to happen with the dead in Christ, he's telling them now about what's going to happen to the ones that's still living when Christ comes. 16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in a cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He said, now I done gave you this information, tell others, because in verse 18 he said, therefore comfort one another with these words. You see, Paul was now talking about the rapture. And if anybody have any questions about the rapture, at the end of the lesson, we always have a period where you could ask questions. I encourage everybody, if it's something you don't understand, take time, press the one button, ask the question, If I don't know the answer, someone else on the line may know it. And if I don't know the answer and no one else does, we'll do research and we'll come back with it next week. God has given us this forum where we could do that. You see, here we see Paul is talking about the rapture. The rapture is an event that will take place sometime in the future, and many of us believe it will be soon. Jesus has described as many things in the Bible, a good shepherd, the Lamb of God, and often spoke of as the bridegroom, just to name a few. You see, the bride of Christ or the Lamb's wife is a term in reference to the church. Sometime in the Bible, it applied through calling Jesus the bridegroom and the church as his bride. Now, you got to understand, Jesus is coming back for the church. The book of Revelation teaches us that, and it's not talking about the church building, y'all. We, the believers, know that once we accept Christ, we are the church, the true church. We go to a church building to fellowship one with another, but we are the church. Hallelujah. What I'm going to do tonight is try to give you an imaginary and a symbolic analogy of Jesus' return for the marriage. Now, I hope everybody got it thus far. Jesus is the bridegroom. We, the church, is the bride. Jesus is coming back to get us. And he's going to present us to the Father. Now, you see, the marriage is applied to Jesus and the body of believers known as the church. So that's going to be the wedding. Studying the Bible, they say the great wedding feast of the Lamb, talking about Jesus being united with his bride, the church. You see, in the book of Revelation, the 19th chapter, the 7th through the 10th verse, John says, I saw and heard a heavenly multitude praising God because the wedding feast of the Lamb, Jesus is known as the Lamb of God, the wedding feast of the Lamb, Jesus, and, you know, they're talking about the marriage supper, was about to begin. You see, the concept of marriage supper is best understood in the light of the wedding customs in the time of Christ, the Jewish wedding. If you know anything about a Jewish wedding, this is going to be very clear to you. And if you get this tonight and you got some understanding, I would encourage you to go pull it up on your internet, research it, go in your Bible and see the process of a Jewish wedding. It's amazed me how God used a process that was already in place to illustrate and orchestrate and do what he did, that when the marriage feast of the Lamb with his bride is understood even more clearly. So there were 7 steps, and I'm going to go through each one of them. You see, step number 1, God began planning this amazing wedding even before the foundation of the world. God knew that we would sin and he would have to send his son. And then when God demanded it's all over, his son had to come and get the believers, which is the bride, and bring them back to the Father. So let's stay with it. And then, so God designed this before the foundation of the world. It lets us now identify the bride and the groom. You see, the bridegroom is no other than Jesus Christ, God's only begotten son. If you are a Christian, then you are the true church, and as such, you are the bride of Christ. God, the father of the groom, chose the bride. You see, that's how they used to do the Jews. Y'all know they would pick a bride for their children, and they, all right, let's keep going. The father of the groom chose the bride. Don't get it twisted. God invented marriage. Even as God chose the bride for the very first wedding, he also chose the bride for the soon to be great wedding of all time, the marriage of his son, Jesus Christ. The first wedding took place between Adam, who was the groom, and Eve, who was the bride. God, the father of Adam, come on, y'all, not only chose Adam's bride, he created her. Even before the foundation of the world, God the Father chose the true church to be his son's future bride. Not only chose his son bride, but he created her. You see, in Matthew 16 and 18, he said, "And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." For step one, the father chose the bride for the son. Step two, then a dowry had to be paid, and the groom's parents paid a dowry price to the bride-to-be. They had to pay money to the bride's family and to the bride. See, God paid the dowry. The father paid an valuable dowry to redeem the chosen bride for his son. The price that God paid for the true church was not mere silver or gold, but the precious blood of Jesus. You see, in John 3:16, it says, "God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son." It was God who gave. Despite having all the power that ever was or shall be, the Father allowed himself to go through unspeakable agony as he allowed his beloved and only begotten Son to suffer on the cross. The Father accomplished everything necessary for the greatest wedding when he paid it in full with the blood of Christ. You see, grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. All the treasures of heaven, he gave all the treasures of heaven as a dowry for the bride. And that's talking about for you and for me. What a mighty God we serve. We were bought with a price that wasn't cheap. Some say salvation by grace is too easy. Many people believe that it's not simple as accept, believe, and confess. They think it's too easy, too cheap of a price to pay. It is true that salvation costs you nothing because it's a free gift. But remember, your salvation costs God everything, his only begotten son. Step three. Then the groom had to make a pledge the lady he was going to marry. You see, Jesus gave his pledge. They used to have to give a gift. You know how sometimes the groom, even in our custom, give the bride a present. The man had to make a pledge that he was going to honor and, you know, do all of the right things. And he gave a gift to the bride. And he gave a pledge that he would fulfill his promise as marriage when the time comes. Because you got to remember, they were engaged. And sometime it was usually no less than a year. But they was assumed, if they was, even though they was expound to someone or betrothed, or engaged, it was like marriage. It was an oath. It was a pledge. Because you remember when Mary and Joseph, and then Mary got pregnant, and Joseph said, they weren't married. But Joseph said to make it right and to not make you be shamed, Mary, I'm going to give you a divorce. He would have had to give her a divorce to come out of the plaid because they weren't really married at that time. Jesus said when he made his pledge, he said, look, I'm coming back for you. This is a love story, y'all. He said, I'm coming back for you. But I got to go. And if I go, I will prepare a place for you that where I am, I'm getting a call on the line. Can y'all hear me? Will somebody press the one button? Thank you. So I don't know what the call was about. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Let me see where I was. So Jesus was making a pledge to the soon-be wife. And he told her, look, when the time comes, you see what he said? When the time comes. See, Jesus don't pick the time. See, the Father telling when the time is right. He said, I'm going to come back when the time is right. He's saying, if I go, I prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Y'all know that's what they use in John 14 many times for funerals. See, even though John 14 is used for funeral, it's about comfort. So when Jesus made the pledge to his bride, he was giving her comfort. Come on, y'all. He was letting her know, look, I'm coming back. Hallelujah. So he was comforting her with those words. You see, having comfort his bride concerning his return, Jesus then presented her with the most wonderful of all the possible gifts as a pledge of his love. And as a guarantee that he would most definitely return to her. Hallelujah, y'all. Hallelujah. You see, the pledge gift that Jesus gave his bride was the Holy Spirit of God. As a Christian, you have been adorned with a living engagement ring. The Holy Spirit of God dwells with us and in us and ever walks beside us. You know, the Catholic religion didn't allow the priests and the nuns to get married because they really felt as they were believers that they were married to God. They even have on wedding rings. They pledge. See, I'm talking about this pledge. You see, the priests and the nuns, they pledge themselves to God. But I want you to know that there's no way in the Bible that said a priest couldn't get married. The priest in the Bible, Moses was a priest in a sense, but Aaron, the priestly, whole priestly family, Aaron had a wife and he had sons. So, you know, I could understand in them taking these verses and saying they pledged themselves to God. I don't know where they got it. I guess when they figured they pledged themselves to God, then they weren't supposed to have another mate. But you see, that's what we talk about the scriptures and how they are perceived and deciphered and how people come up with different things. But priests do have wives in the Bible, the truth. But Jesus made a pledge to his bride that he was coming back. He gave a gift. He gave a living engagement ring. Because, see, God got it going on like that. You see, in step four, the espousal. Once those things was put in place, the bride and the groom are now expound. Expound is like the engagement. Biblical expoundment was fully binding as marriage, like I said before. That is, they were betrothed or engaged to be married to each other. And you see, step four is the status of us, the true church of God today, right this very moment. You see, there was dispensations of times in the Bible, and we are living in a church age, and we're going to be in a church age till Jesus come back. But we engage to Jesus until he come back, because Jesus said to us that when the time comes, he's going to come and get us. And then they're going to have the great marriage feast of the Lamb. Come on, y'all. So we still engaged. We still in this process, number four. We still expound. You see, the father of the groom has selected the bride and paid the dowry, and the bridegroom has given the bride a pledge and to return for her and to take her to his father in heaven. See, Jesus is going to take us and he's going to present us to the Father. He has placed his ring upon our heart, the Holy Ghost. And he has gone to build mansions for her. Remember what he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would tell you. Look what Jesus said. I go to prepare a place for you. See, back then when a man got engaged, he had to go and get everything ready to receive his bride. He didn't come like some people do today, go get your bride and bring her to your mama house after the wedding is over. Or you go and stay here, there, or whatever. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Where I am, you may be also. And when my father says it's time, I will come and get you and present you to my father. And then the marriage, come on, y'all, will take place. And he is gone to build mansions for her. You see, Christians are now expound, betrothed, and engaged to the bridegroom, which is Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian, you are expound to a living bridegroom who loves you with an everlasting arm. He pledged himself to you. Come on, y'all. He gave himself for you. You wear his ring. So now what? As the bride, you should be faithful unto him. See, that's what problem Joseph had with Mary when she was having a baby. And far as his comprehension could comprehend, she would have had to have sex. So that was like cheating on him until an angel talked to him. But you see, we should be faithful to him as he is faithful to us, plain and simple. Why do you want to be faithful, obedient? Come on, y'all. And people today use the word my fiance so loose till it has less value, but plain and simple. We are engaged to Jesus Christ and we're waiting for him to return so that we could go to the marriage feast of the Lamb, that we could be presented to the Father. Hallelujah. And then verse 5. You see, the bridegroom cometh. No one knows the date or the time. See, that's the way it was when in a Jewish wedding, when the father said so, the groom would go to get his wife. That's why, no one knew the time or the date. But he's coming back. After an often lengthy period of espousal, the bridegroom would come back to the bride's home to fetch his bride. The bride would lift the bride's veil to reveal her face. Upon beholding his bride, the groom would give a joyful shout to show that he took pleasure in her beauty. For the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of an archangel, and with a trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with Christ. Glory, hallelujah. Step 6, to the Father's house. The groom would then take his bride to his father's house. Jesus himself said in John 14:2-3, in my father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus is coming back. Step 7, and I don't know why step 7 is no step 8. 7 is a sign of completion, y'all. So let's get in step 7. You see, the marriage in the house of the groom's father, the marriage feast, the marriage supper then took place. As recorded in Revelation 7:7-9, let us be glad and rejoice and give him, talking about God, the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb, Jesus, has come, and his wife, the true church, I'm filling in the blank, y'all, has made herself ready. Because the scripture reads like this, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. I said God. For the marriage of the Lamb, I said Jesus, has come, and his wife, the true church, has made herself ready. And to her, talking about the bride, it is granted to be arrayed in fine linen and bright. For the fine linen is the righteousness acts of the saints. That's why we're going to take off the corruptible and put on incorruptible, y'all. They're going to dress us in white linen. You know, Jesus wore white linen a lot. Hallelujah. Then he, talking about who? The angel said, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage feast of the Lamb, the believers. And he said to me, these are the true saints of God. The amazing and glorious marriage of Jesus to the church will soon take place. Will you be there? And I'm going to give you a little example of a parable that was used. You know, we had the parable of the 10 virgins. And we know we have to be prepared. Y'all know they had the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. 5 was prepared. They had oil for their lamps. The other 5 didn't have any oil, and, you know, they didn't know the time of the day when he would come. So when they made the call for the bride to come, it was at night. And they couldn't see because they didn't have street lights. So the 5 foolish asked the 5 wives to give them some of the oil out of their lap. Said, no, we can't do this. We don't know how far we got to go. We don't know how long it's going to take. And we could run out. So the 5 wives told them, y'all better try to go get y'all some more oil. So they went out to get the oil. And the bridegroom came. And the 5 wives went with them. So after the five foolish found the oil, and they went to where the wedding was going to be, they got in, the door was locked. Of course, they knocked on the door. It was too late. Everyone that was in, and everyone that was out had to stay out. So he's talking about the marriage feast of the Lamb and how the bridegroom comes. I'm trying to make this connect for you guys, how the bridegroom comes, and you don't know when. You just got to be ready. Hallelujah. So, you know, we have the parable of the 10 virgins. The Word of God wants you to know that everyone is invited. The great invitation that went out to everyone. If you want to see it, go to Matthew, the 11th chapter, 28 through 30 verse. Glory, hallelujah. Jesus himself said, it's the invitation. Come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Thank you, Jesus. Then he went, then he sent an angel to testify, and then testify. And then in Revelations 22 and 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hear it say, come. And let him that athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I want to ask you tonight, have you RSVP'd? See, Romans 10:9-10 says, if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Jesus has been taking care of his bride. Aha! Once she was expounded to him. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you became expounded to him. And Jesus, when a man would be, when a lady would be expounded, the man would begin to take care of her. Jesus is taking care of us, y'all, and have been taking care of us ever since we accepted him as our Savior. He has been providing her with all provisions necessary, and he's constantly working all things out for her good. He's being faithful with her. He knows she's not perfect. He's being patient with her. And he's long-suffering with her. What a mighty God we serve. And he has promised her a retirement that is out of this world. That's my lesson for tonight, y'all. Glory, hallelujah, unto God. If there are any questions, comments, or concerns, you could address them at this time. Don't leave with a question. They say the only unsensible question is the one that's not asked. Now, when you graciously help me to realize that you could hear me, you press the one buttons on your phone, and once the button is pressed, I get a prompt, and even after you speak, I can't erase the prompt. And then if you try to press the one again, it's not going to prompt again. So the people that press the one button, I'm going to just open your mic And if you want to say something, you can. And if you don't, I don't want to close the program. And you want it, but you couldn't get the attention. So caller, your number is 25577. Your mic is open.
No, that was me pressing that button.
I'm sorry. What'd you say, baby?
That was me. When you told me to press that one for you early, somebody pressed one. That was me pressing one for you early.
Okay. And I just didn't know if you wanted to say something, because if you wanted to, if you press the one again, it won't give me another prompt.
So no, ma'am. I was just
giving the opportunity. Thank you so much, Brother Corey. Caller, your number is 33720.
I just want to thank you for the lesson. It was well taught. I gained a lot of knowledge, and I just pray that you continue to be a willing vessel for the Master's use.
Thank you, my sister. Anyone else? If there's nothing else anyone would like to ask or say at this time, we could have our benediction. Wait, one more. I'm sorry. One caller has pressed the button and I didn't ask Sister Pam. One moment. Sister Pam.
I'm here.
Sister Pam. Yeah, I didn't know if you wanted to say anything.
No, the lesson was beautiful as always. Great knowledge.
Praise be to God. Thank you. Caller, your number is 504-715-46. Your mic is open.
That's me. I'm going to sing a song that came across my mind when you was doing the lesson.
Praise God.
To be the one the Lord is calling for in these last and evil days. The one called to be a witness to a soul who loves their way. And to be used as his instrument, so men may see and know that God is faithful to his promise he made a long time ago, that he's coming back again. Yes, he's coming back again. Glory, hallelujah, bless his name and lift him up. Praise the Lord, he's coming back again. Told us not to worry, but that he had to go away. And while he was going, he would be building us a place. When the time is right, might be morning, noon, or night, but he would come back, and he's gonna take us there. He's coming back again. Yes, he's coming back again. Glory, hallelujah, bless his name and lift him up. Praise God, he's coming back again. Jesus Christ is coming back, the Son of Man. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is the great I am.
Calling in from Boothville, Louisiana. I thank God for you and your presence and your faithfulness. God bless you, my sister.
You too, sis.
Anyone else have anything they would like to say? If not, we could have our benediction. Minister Pam, Sister Pam, your mic is open.
Thank you, Minister Larry Mackey, for that beautiful, beautiful, beautiful song. The benediction tonight is coming from 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and every way. The Lord be with you all. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And that's our Bible study for tonight. Again, I thank God and I thank each and every one of you. And I'm asking that you pray for me as I pray for you. And I pray that if it's God's will, we'll be back on next week, same time. But until then, just like the benediction says, go in peace. God will give us a peace that passes all understanding if we keep our mind stayed on him. And as we had in the lesson tonight, the world we live in is the world that it is at this time. But we have hope because Jesus is coming back. And in the end, we win. So until next week, good night. God loves you and so do I. And there's nothing you could do about it. Go in peace and be blessed.